I had to think about the choice that I made of concerning what I should share with you, and I picked on the 5 years of Mark 16:16. This statement of Jesus is so plain and yet so controversial that you rarely hear it referred to by denominational preachers, whether it be in their churches or on TV or the radio. It's obviously not a politically correct statement. But anyway, when they do quote it, they feel it's necessary to give an explanation that goes against the clear statement of Jesus. So what is the clear statement of Jesus? Let us now turn to Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, I gave in Mark 16, verses 1 to 16, the background of this statement. And why the Lord Jesus said it: he was crucified, died on the cross, buried in the tomb, and in 3 days therein, he rose from the grave and was seen by 500 people, including the disciples and their families. What caused Jesus to speak this was because they who heard of his resurrection did not believe the report. Now, in verses 17 and 18, let's see, when Christ opened up the statement, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Then he said, and these signs will follow those who believe. They will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, if these signs were to continue this day, since the time of the Acts of the Apostles, then we would have a second volume of the Bible recording all the believers' works in regards to that statement. But the fact was that these signs prevailed for the purpose of completing the New Testament up to Revelation just before 100 AD. I have a copy at home, I didn't bring it with me, of Davies, the author is Davies, and the title of it is The Early Christian Church, A History of Its First 5 Centuries, which does not record the signs and wonders spoken of by Christ after 100 AD, and the Christian fathers who were contemporaries of the apostles, and especially Apostle John of Revelation. They did not see the signs and wonders that followed them that believed, but by their martyrdom and their blood being shed, multiplied many who believed. And so the Christian church grew on the faith that Jesus rose again and is now sitting on the right hand of God. It all goes back to Thomas, to the Lord Jesus and Thomas, when Jesus told Thomas to reach with his finger, to touch the Lord's side and his hands, his feet, his head. And in John 20, verses 27 to 29, Jesus said to Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is the background that explains Mark 16:16, that the Lord Jesus decreed, he is Lord of lords, King of kings, that he is risen and appeared before many for 40 days. Now we will discuss the 5 views of Mark 16:16. The first one is one held by those who do not profess to be Christians. In essence, they would say, he who believes and is baptized will not be saved. Now, there are 2 groups who hold this view. The first one would be the atheist. They don't believe in God, heaven or hell, or salvation of any kind. Number 2, the Jews and Muslims, and Hindus, etc., who believe in God or gods, but who do not believe that salvation is to be found in Jesus, and that to believe or to be baptized is contrary to the will of God, or Allah, or any other God. Now, I want to share with you something that's very interesting. I looked on the internet 2 weeks ago, no, actually a month ago. There was an article written by a sheikh, Mami, whatever his name, it's called The Winds of Jihad. And it says, Indonesia, Muslim groups call for formation of militia units, warn of potential war against Christians. And it shows a picture of these militia units. And then right after it, it shows all of these Indonesian Christians, which numbered in 100,000 in Jakarta's biggest stadium. 100,000 Indonesian Christians, all with crosses, and they were raising their hands, praising the Lord. And what was interesting is, this is written right within the website of this sheikh, and one interesting thing he said here is that there's a YouTube, like it's all black, but it says, Islam, the fastest dying religion. And over here it says, one commentator says, Islam, the fastest dying religion. All religions will die. They cannot save people. Only a personal faith relationship with Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, YHWH. And he said, Yahweh, he said, will establish real worship in the spirit, the truth, the way, and the life. Obviously, the message is getting through. And then in another article by the Jakarta Globe, and they were trying to keep the peace, it says, this one statement said, Mohali claimed that a certain Christian foundation has been relentlessly baptizing groups of people in the city, which has seen a number of religious conflicts in recent months. However, a Bekasi police chief, and I'm not going to name it because it's, I can't pronounce it, denied that there had been a mass baptism. He says all of them were students, and they were at that house for recreation. They all went there for a swim. So that was interesting how that in Indonesia, there is a lot going on. It's a point of fact that every year, 171 Christians die for their faith in Christ. They were martyred for their faith. That means 20 per hour. And we don't hear about this, but you have to look it up. And it's going on over there, and not over here, but over there. The persecution is very great in countries where cultures are so different from the Christianity. Now, this is the first view, and so those who accept Jesus and the authority of his apostles reject such adverse belief that he who believes and is baptized will not be saved. They reject this view. For there is a God who offers salvation contrary to the views of the atheists. In 1 Timothy 2:1-4, it says, Therefore I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The salvation does come only through Jesus, contrary to the views of Jews, Muslims, and Hindus. In 1 Timothy 2:5-6 declares, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And in John 14:6 declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Now the second view is held by some that says, he who does not believe and is not baptized will be saved. That sounds like an opposite side of the coin, but it's not. It's just another wrong view. This view was held mainly by the universalist Unitarians, who believe that God will save everyone eventually. And to support their view, they will isolate some verses like 1 Timothy 2:6, which says, "Who gave himself as a ransom for all." But those who know the teachings of Christ and Paul likewise reject such a view. Jesus himself told that there would be a few who would be saved. According to Matthew 7:13-14, he said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there be few who find it." Paul warned that of those who would not be saved, but would face the wrath of God, according to Ephesians 5:5-6, he writes, "For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Now, most Bible-believing, professing Christians would never treat Mark 16:16 the way the first two views do. But as we consider the next two views, we may start hitting closer to home. The third view would say, "He who does not believe and is baptized will be saved." He who does not believe and is baptized will be saved. By baptizing, and I put this in quotation because it's actually sprinkling and not immersing infants, that is baptizing infants incapable of faith. That they may indicate that the faith is not essential to salvation, but that baptism in the Catholic Church is the first sacrament that saves you. Some, especially Lutherans, try to get around this by saying that God imparts saving faith to the infant so baptism can still save. But by sprinkling and pouring instead of immersion, they also indicate that Jesus didn't mean what he said. But speaking in the truth in love, and we must point out that faith is necessary prerequisite for baptism in Acts 8:35-37, when then Philip opened his mouth and preached Jesus to him. Just as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Peter said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." For salvation, Romans 10:9-10 says, "For that if you confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." That the Greek word for baptism, baptizo, means is dipping or immersion, which is why baptism is described in the Bible as a burial. See Romans 6:3-6. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." To consider the command of the Syrian commander, a command to the Syrian commander, Naaman, by the prophet Elisha, when he was told to dip in the river Jordan 7 times to be cleansed of his leprosy. At first he balked, and he thought Elisha would call upon the name of the Lord and wave his hand over him and cleanse him of leprosy, or at least send him to the Syria where the rivers there were cleaner than the rivers of Israel. His servant persuaded him to follow through exactly what Elisha commanded. In 2 Kings 5:14 it says, so he went down and dipped 7 times in the in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The point here is to follow exactly according to the commandments of Jesus Christ. He rebuked the scribes and Pharisees for imposing the traditions of men upon God's people. In Matthew 15:8-9, from Isaiah's prophecy, he says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men." Now, if a doctor writes a prescription and the pharmacist looks at it and changes the prescription, do you think the outcome would be favorable to the patient? I do not doubt the sincerity of those who hold to the view of infant baptism and the subsequent confirmation of faith, and mentions the fact that conversion. I've heard this from a Greek Orthodox priest, because that's the other side. You know, that's another group of people that believe that the baptism is official for those infants at that time. It is said here that they quote Acts 6:15, which records Lydia of Philippi, and when she and her household were baptized. But the idea of a household might include the infants. That's the question. We don't know if that's true or not. But if you look at the total picture, we know that we must first hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then we will respond to the idea of baptism. So now let us go and discuss the fourth view, another view held sincerely by many. And that is, he who believes and is not baptized will be saved. I know this is kind of hard to say, because they'll say, oh yeah, they'll baptize, but it's not for the same reason. This view is held by those who believe in salvation by faith only, or by faith alone. That one is saved before baptism. That baptism is not essential to salvation. This view is held for all practical purposes by most members of various denominations. But Jesus and his apostles clearly taught differently, that faith alone cannot save, as declared by Jesus in Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In Luke 6:46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" As taught by his disciples, see Hebrews 5:9, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." And in 1 John 2:3-5, "And now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And one of my favorites in the Bible is the faith alone. The only time you see the word faith alone in the Bible at all is in the 2nd chapter of James, which describes how faith and works are inseparable. James concluded by saying in James 2:22, "Do you see that faith is was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect?" And in James 2:24, "You see then that man is justified by works, and not by faith alone," or faith only. That's the only place where that word faith alone is found, in James 2:24. Now, that baptism is central to salvation, how do we prove that? As declared by Jesus in John 3:5, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God." In Mark 16:6, which is quoted already, and in the Great Commission in Matthew 28:8-26, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things, to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, according to the apostles in Acts 2:38, the believer asked, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter replied, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the gift, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 22:16, and now while you're waiting, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. In Galatians 3:26-27, Paul says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There are two scriptures that help clarify the role of baptism in the believer's life. Let's turn to Romans 4:11, which talks about Abraham and his faith. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they were uncircumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed to them also. And let's connect that with Colossians 2:11-12. Paul says, in him you were also circumcised, made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of his flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through his faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So we see the correlation of the circumcision of the flesh as a seal of righteousness of the faith to the baptism, which also is the seal of faith. Ephesians 4:30 says that the Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. We cannot receive the Holy Spirit except we believe, repent, be baptized, and then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. This leads us to the fifth and final view, one that I believe that we are compelled to accept. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. This view takes the words of Jesus at face value. No explanations are necessary. Jesus says what he means and means what he says. We have already seen previously that the Bible teaches one must believe, according to Acts 2:37. One must be baptized to enjoy the forgiveness of sins, according to Acts 2:38. Jesus set us an example that though sinless, he was baptized. He was baptized. He did what his Father willed for him to do, Matthew 3:13-17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, I was thinking more about this, that, you know, when we want to increase our faith, we have to do several things, to read God's Word, study it, and strengthen our souls and be stronger and stronger in our faith. This is one of the reasons why that when Jesus says, he that believeth not shall be damned. I know that when we do the first two things, we're sealed, we are in his hand, and he protects us. And I was remembering there was a story, I mean, that's not a story, it actually happened. It's a pastor by the name of D. Stuart Briscoe. In his book, Living Dangerously, he told of a student coming to him after his talk of the need to study the Bible regularly. And he accused him of being unrealistic. She said, well, how can you be so unrealistic as to suggest that we should spend time daily in the Word of God? We live busy lives. And it's impossible to give the time that you seem to think is necessary. So he asked her if she ever ate food. And she said, yeah. So to feed your body, she he asked, and she said, yeah. And then he asked how long she spent daily feeding her body, and she guessed about an hour. She admitted that her body would eventually die and return to the dust from which it came, but she insisted that she ought to continue feeding it. She was stumped when he asked her, why do you consider it unrealistic to take time to nourish your soul that will never pass away? When you find it necessary to feed your body for 1 hour every day, knowing full well that it will eventually pass away. Strong statement, a very strong statement. You see that when Jesus said that you must believe and be baptized to be saved, he also said that he believes that he that believeth not shall be condemned. Believing God's word is going to strength to change your life. And baptism seals your soul to Christ. And Christ becomes your personal savior and shepherd of your life. He does this through his word. If you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the opportunity this morning and be baptized. Be buried with him and arise a new living creature, having washed away all your sins. If you're already a Christian and want to be identified with this body of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.